How's it going, guys? It is 2:17 a.m. Thursday, September 22nd here in Japan, and we have pretty standard, pretty baseline question for 2CK, hepatobiliary, mainly surgery and internal medicine. If you're studying for step one, very fucking important for you because clearly you're gonna have to ace your 2CK. So before we start, please subscribe to my channel. I really appreciate it. Give it a like, really appreciate it. Find me on Instagram at melman underscore medical, melman underscore medical. The link is down below. Find me on Telegram, links to the Telegram group and channel down below, and I'll start the clip. So, a 32-year-old woman, she has a 2-month history of generalized pruritus. She has a history of subacute granulomatous thyroiditis, aka De Quervain thyroiditis. Her brother has RA. Ultrasound of the abdomen shows a stone in the gallbladder. We have her laboratory studies. Hemoglobin low, 10 grams per deciliter, should be 12 to 17.5 in menstruating women, 13 to 17.5 in non-menstruating women and men. Total bilirubin elevated at 3. It should be around 1. And of course, we don't have the direct slash indirect listed here, but nevertheless, total is elevated. Serum ALP is elevated at 300, should be 50 to 150. Total cholesterol is elevated. Serum amylase is normal. Okay, and question just wants to know most likely diagnosis. So let's just whip through the answer choices here. We'll go backwards. Choice F, Guillain-Barré syndrome, wrong fucking answer. Okay, so Gilbert, but Guillain-Barré is how you actually pronounce it. This is just going to be a patient, generally teenager to young adult, who completely healthy, but occasionally has a stress factor, such as studying for an exam, and will get icterus, scleral icterus, and or yellow skin, and you don't have to treat it, okay? It's just deficiency of UDP, glucuronosyl transferase, the uptake enzyme for bilirubin at the liver. So the patient will have increased unconjugated indirect bilirubin, okay? And occasionally they can give you someone who had surgery within the past couple weeks, unrelated to hepatobiliary, and that's a stress factor, okay? And that's Guillain-Barré syndrome. Point is, wrong fucking answer. Choice C, Dubin-Johnson syndrome, wrong answer. I have only seen this asked once ever on all NBME material. Students get fanatical about these fancy diagnoses like Dubin-Johnson, Roeder syndrome. On one of the new 2CK forms, they ask this. This is just going to be an adult who's asymptomatic, and the conjugated bilirubin will be increased. Okay, that's literally it. It's just decreased ability to secrete bilirubin into bile. Okay, you don't have to worry about the liver being black. All this nonsense that shows up in questions. Point is, wrong fucking answer. Choice, and I said in questions, I mean in resources that are misguided. Choice D, cholecystitis, wrong answer. So patient would have a fever in cholecystitis. Okay, that's just going to basically, if it sounds like a gallstone, okay, cholelithiasis, patient, fat, 40s, female, fertile, she's got colicky abdominal pain, biliary colic. That's cholelithiasis. If you just add a fever on top of it, we now call it cholecystitis. Now, some of you guys say, but wait, I don't get it. They say that there's a stone in the gallbladder. Yeah, you're right. There is cholelithiasis. I mean, the patient clearly has high cholesterol, which is the etiology for the cholelithiasis, presumably, but the diagnosis isn't cholecystitis. Okay, so as I just fucking said, they'd give you a fever in the setting of a patient who has a biliary colic or history of it. And almost always, you're not going to have an increase in bilirubin and ALP with cholecystitis or cholelithiasis. Okay, you'd have to have the stone descend down into the common bile duct where you have that obstruction, which is now called cholecystolithiasis. Point is, wrong fucking answer. Choice C, cholangitis, primary sclerosing, wrong answer. So primary sclerosing cholangitis is an extraintestinal manifestation of IBD, usually ulcerative colitis. It can be Crohn, but the patient would say that in the vignette. Okay, they are that easy with it. They'll give you a big fucking paragraph, and somewhere in there, they're going to tell you that the patient has ulcerative colitis, and now there's high ALP and high bilirubin. Okay, will be conjugated bilirubin. Okay, we can make an inference in that situation, and that's literally all the question will be. And they can give you a fever. Okay, so Charcot triad for cholangitis is fever, jaundice, and abdominal pain. Some students say, oh, isn't it right upper quadrant pain? No, and it's not my fucking opinion. It's based on what I've seen on the NBME exams. Okay, they'll just say abdo pain. They don't have to say right upper quadrant pain. Okay, but that is Charcot triad. And if any time I do a question with a student, he or she isn't sure about cholangitis, gets it wrong, okay, and I say, well, what's Charcot triad for cholangitis? Because that's how cholangitis will present. Point is, wrong fucking answer. Ascending cholangitis, wrong answer. This just refers to bacterial infection. Okay, so if we would have Charcot triad for cholangitis in the stem, and there would be no history of IBD. Okay, and then you just assume, well, that's bacteria, E. coli, Bacteroides ascending from the GI tract. Wrong fucking answer. Biliary cirrhosis, okay, primary biliary cirrhosis is the diagnosis here. They're going to give you a woman, 20s to 50s, who has generalized pruritus, high cholesterol, and they love mentioning autoimmune disease in the either the patient's history or the family history, okay? It's a very buzzy, very easy concept that you need to know. Autoimmune diseases go together, okay? So they could have said she has SLE. They could have said her brother has pernicious anemia. Or she has vitiligo. It doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about strict HLA associations. Okay, so autoimmune diseases. And the patient, not only the generalized pruritus and the high cholesterol, but also high ALP and high bilirubin. And it will be conjugated bilirubin, okay, due to biliary obstruction microscopically. So the hemoglobin, why is that low? It's probably anemia of chronic disease. I just threw that in there, right? I mean, that's very high yield for questions. Not likely to be iron deficiency anemia. Obviously, women who are menstruating can get IDA, but in this setting, probably just anemia of chronic disease, but it's not the salient focus of the question regardless. Next best step is going to be anti-mitochondrial antibodies, okay? And patients will have an ultrasound as a standard diagnostic modality that's performed, but questions pretty much are not going to assess that. They're just going to say, what's the next best step in diagnosis? Answer will be anti-mitochondrial antibodies. If they don't mention that, they'll just say which of the following is most likely to confirm the diagnosis, which is liver biopsy. Okay, you're not going to do a fucking CT. You're not going to do an ERCP. None of that's going to determine primary biliary cirrhosis. Okay, so anti-mitochondrial antibodies, and then you're going to confirm ultimately with a liver biopsy. And finally, just the serum amylase being normal here is sometimes you can get gallstone pancreatitis in patients. Okay, so if they have a stone that descends and the pancreatic enzymes amylase lipase are elevated. That sounds like gallstone pancreatitis, cholelithiasis. You know the deal. I'm going to make more content. If you like my stuff, subscribe to my channel. And I appreciate your time. That's it.